Hello. Hello. Good evening.
Oh, hello. Good evening.
Well, there's only yourself on the line, but I think we can get started because it's going to be a little bit confusing getting to the handout.
Right. Well, I went ahead and printed them.
Yeah,
I remember reading them before, but I printed them last week, so I had
them. Did you get both of them or just the one? Or maybe all three, because there's three of them. So let me go through the description for the people who will listen to the recording.
Okay.
On the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 11, second column from the left, is Advanced Reincarnation landing page. When you open that, scroll down to class number 21. That will open up to chapter 17, section 1. We've already read that, but within that section, there is a link that takes you as I said, to chapter 17, verse 1, but the link takes you to an essence that says, let us see through this essay. When you click on that link, which is about an inch down from the top of the page, it opens up to a page that we also read last week. At the bottom of that page, there are two links. The first one talks about the tidbits about the 600,000 letters. The second one is the one where we're going to start. Is titled The Mystery of the 600,000 Letters. And I'm beginning to read there. The mystery of the 600,000 letters is solved. The choice, programmer or programmee. Now, the title doesn't make any sense to anybody, but hopefully after you read it, it will become clear. And I will just speak quickly that this blog, the KabbalahSecrets.com, is written by a mathematician. His name is Jeffrey Melikin, and he's a close friendship with Zion Nefesh. So I'm beginning to read. There has been a great mystery in Kabbalah and Judaic studies for millennia. The Zohar and the Chazal is the sages. It's primarily the Talmud, but in commentary in the Talmud. The Zohar and the Chazal clearly
did we get disconnected?
Sounds like it.
Oh my.
I'm sorry for the delay. I've just been having problems with my phone this afternoon. So I hope people are there.
Yes, we're here.
So as I was explaining about where the pages were, and I'm just beginning to read where we're starting, which is the mystery of $600,000. There has been a great mystery in Kabbalah and Judaic studies for millennium. The Zohar and Chazal clearly state in many places that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. But just as clearly, if you count them, there are only 304,805 actual letters. And this is in all of the Tanakh. So we have to clarify whether we're speaking of the Torah, meaning the five books of Moses, or the Tanakh, which is the five books of Moses plus the prophets plus the writings. And so far, this hasn't clarified that. Many people have suggested that they were counting the white fire between the letters, or duplicating the letters by counting their upper world reflections, and various other theories. But none of these calculations ever came close enough to 600,000 to satisfy anyone. So the mystery persists, or does it? The first thing we need to understand is that the letters are already upper world manifestations, black fire in our world, and that their meaning, their essence, is as hard to actually grasp as is a fleeting inspiration drifting down from Keter and Chachma. You may have it 1 second and lost it the next, but it is essential that grasp and understand the letters as best we can. As a metaphor, what the author is saying is you have a thought, and for whatever reason, you've been delayed in expressing that thought. And when you go to express it, it's not there. It happens to everyone from time to time. To the tip of my tongue is the expression. But it's not at the tip of your tongue. It's in your head, but it's lost. Will it come back? Generally, it does. Not necessarily in the time frame that you want it to. Continuing to read. But why do we really need to understand the letters when we already understand the words? We can all understand, especially with the guidance of our spiritual rabbis, past and present, the meaning of the words. So why look any deeper to the letters? The answer is the same as with your computer programs. You can email and IM your friends and colleagues and play all sorts of great games on your computer, but unless you know the programming code, you can't create programs themselves. And as any Kabbalist spiritual teacher, theologian, and most rabbis and Torah scholars will tell you, our purpose is to be more like the Creator, not just his recipient. There's a lot of thoughts that I would comment on in that sentence, but for now, let's focus on the 600,000 letters. Continuing. When you analyze how a program was created, you gain insight into how the programmer thinks, into how his mind works. And so it is with the programming tools of the Torah, which incidentally are mimicked in the technology of all of our prayers. These tools are the patterns and algorithms used to create what we call words, verses, paragraphs, and the chapters of the Torah, and the building blocks, as Abraham explained to us in the Sefer Yetzirah, are the 22 Hebrew letters. He further explained that they should be counted, measured, permutated, and studied. So we can either spend our time sending emails to our friends and colleagues, or learn about who enabled us with the ability to have friends, colleagues in the first place. Yes, we are supposed to do our spiritual work in this world with those people, but if you have the merit to understand more, you have the obligation to those very people to do so. You must be their channel. You also have the obligation to yourself to be more like the Creator. Because the more you understand about how He thinks, the more that gets revealed to you about how the universe really works. You can see the email on your screen, or look deeper and see the world for the illusion that it truly is. Every bit of technology that gets revealed comes with a gift. It comes with additional understanding, to be sure, but it also comes with the means to bridge heaven and earth, to change your realities, to help people, to improve the world of Tikkun, which is our physical world, and for you to do your part in bringing about the arrival of Mashiach. The choice is yours. It always has been. It always will be. To be a programmer or to be programmed. As we draw within a short few years of the program date for the arrival of the Mashiach and Mashiach consciousness, the Lord is fulfilling His promise of revealing all the knowledge to us. Thus, each one of us will have been given the tools to have done his part in bringing about the Geulah, the final redemption. On the flip side, no one will be able to say that they weren't given the opportunity and had chosen accordingly. There will be a great split, a schism, accompanying the time of the Mashiach. And there will be two different worlds afterwards. And we'll each be given the opportunity to prove which world we belong within, for that is why we were born in this generation. For that reason, it's time to reveal the 600,000 letters, which we know from Chazal connect with the 600,000 Jewish souls that received the Torah 66.6 Jubilee years ago at Mount Sinai, and for a lack of belief of a mere 6 hours, lost the opportunity to know immortality on the heavenly scale. It's said that we all have a letter in the Torah. Now we know it is our route to heaven. Actually, that is true. It is our route to heaven. Or it's our route in heaven, but it can be our route, spelled R-O-U-T-E, to heaven. Mm-hmm. If you want to know how long 66.6 jubilees years are, a jubilee year is 50 years. The answer to the riddle of the 600,000 letters is quite simple, which in and of itself explains why it must have been concealed from our sages until now. If the 22 plus 5 final Hebrew letters are broken down into their correct 50 composite parts. Hold on a second. That's it. I think I could. Oh, there's one more. Thank you. I'm back. If the 27 Hebrew letters are broken down into their correct 50 composite parts of letters, the answer becomes clear. But first, we should note that when we break down a composite letter into the letter elements that formed it, we're going one step deeper into the mind of the Creator. For example, the Mem is written, created by combining a Chaf and a Vav and placing them in an exact juxtaposed position. Therefore, a Mem is composed of two letters, or two parts of a letter, and placing them in an exact position. We know that the Kaf Vav of Nu adds up to a numerical value 26, is a direct reference to the Hashem's name, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And the ordinal value of a Kaf Vav is 17. Now, the ordinal value is the relationship in the order of the Hebrew alphabet. So the Aleph is in the first position. It has a 1 ordinal value. A Bet is in the second position. Its ordinal value is 2. Continuing along, the Yud is in the 10th position. Its ordinal value is 10. The Kaf is the next after the Yud. It's the 11th position. So its ordinal value is 11. And the Vav ordinal value is 6. So you can see where the 17 comes from. And 17 is the gematria of the word Tov. But we have to also look that in addition to Tov being 17, Tov has an ordinal value. So Tov is spelled Tet, which is 9. Vav, which is 6, it's 15. And a Bet is 2, is 17. Its ordinal value and its regular gematria is 17. But if we look even deeper and say that the Tet is composed of a Vav, two Vavs and a Zion, the left arm of the Tet can be a Vav or a Zion, but it's one component. If it's a Zion, it's two components because there's a Yud and a Vav. I hope I'm not being confusing, and it will become more clear when we get into the next section, which is that of a matrix, which I'll explain when we get there. Continuing with what the author is saying, so having this little bit of programming knowledge, this gematria, brings new meaning to every word you see and read containing the letter Mem. next point we need to know is that there is the 50 essential letters composite parts is no accident. We know from Chazal, from our sages, that 50 connects to Bina, the energy store, the mother, as the part Suth, Ima. And its translation is understanding. And that the Torah makes a very distinctive point to tell us to count the Jubilee's years, each of which is 50 years long. Once we multiply the 27 letters, individually broken down into 50 parts, by the number of times each letter occurs in the Torah, we get a total of 599,592 letters, or exactly 600,000 minus 408, as shown in the chart below. So let's start looking at the chart below. An aleph is ordinal value 1, regular value 1, small gematria value 1. There are 27,059 aleph in the Tanakh. The aleph is not an individual letter. It is composed of four components. There are two yuds and two vavs. Okay. Now, most people would say there's two yuds and one vav. Mm-hmm. Why are there four? Because there are two vavs the way the scribe writes it. But more importantly, if we read the Torah in the book of Genesis, we speak of separation above and below, but it actually says two separations, which is why there are two vavs. So the total number of components is 108,236. That's 4 times 27,059 times 1. Actually, the times 1 is not necessary. The Nebet, there are 16,345 bets in the Tanakh. A bet is composed of three vavs, and that's an easier letter to understand. The three vavs times the 16,000 plus, it comes to 49,035. A gimel is composed of a zion and a yud. There are 2,109 gimels in the Tanakh, times 2 gives us the 4218. Now here we get to an interesting discussion. There are 7,032 dalits in the Tanakh. If we multiply by the 1 in this chart, it comes to 7,032. The question is a dalit composed of two components or one? So let's assume that we're following his pattern and we're going to say one. Therefore, a dalit is a unique letter. Now let's go down that list, that column, and see how many letters are unique, the definition being that they only have one component. The dalet, the vav, the chet, which is not a correct idea, so I'm not counting the chet. the Zion is not, the Yud is, the Kaf is, the Nun may or may not be, the Samach is composed of two, but he's saying it's one. The Ayin, disregard the Ayin, the Resh, the Kaf Sofit, the Nun Sofit. So let's go back up because I lost count. Just using his group, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 letters that are considered unique, individual, and all of the other 17 letters are composed of these letters. Let's scroll back down to the bottom of the table, which is a matrix. And we see how he has calculated his numbers. We don't understand how this is, but as a mathematician, utilizing the modern numbers theory system, this does make sense. I would do it differently as to how many letters are unique. If I were to do this, actually, since we're probably going to go overtime today, we may have even two or three classes on this subject as we go through this. I'm going to calculate this for next week, and I'll provide a chart that will have my numbering and see what it relates to. I've never done that before. I just always read this and understood this was an approach, but his knowledge of how the Sofer writes the letters was not correct. But let us continue to read. So why not exactly 600,000 letters? And that because if it was 600,000, we would show perfection. And it's an absolutely valid question. Because we already know Hashem is perfect and what he wants is for us to understand his thought process, the underpinnings of the universe, and then realize how perfect the universe is. So why exactly are we missing 408 letters shy of perfection? As we understand it, since 60% of the verses in the Torah begin with the letter Vav of numerical value 6, and all but 6 columns begin with the standard letter Vav, and since the letter Vav represents Zerampin, the connection to heaven, and thus represents the link to the upper Sephirot, let's see what happens if these 408 letters were all Vavs. That would be 2,448. And if you recall from the divine calendar, the divine calendar is a 50 or 60 page essay report that this author has written explaining the calendar, the Hebrew calendar, and especially defining when that calendar and when Mashiach would come, which is hinted at and written about in the calendar. So what he's saying is the number 2448 was the year of the Exodus from Egypt and the reception of the Torah at Mount Sinai. Now, if we've learned any insight into the thought process of Hashem, it is that everything has multiple correct meanings, and every bit of technology works overtime to delineate the multiple storylines for us. Multiple opportunities and streams of knowledge for us. One of those streams leads us to the realization that the 50 component letters led us to 600,000 minus 408, which led us to 2448. And that in turn leads us to 2448 plus 50 jubilee years times 66.6 jubilee years until this current year of 5778. And that is the year that is prophesied from Rabbi Ashlag, from other prophets, from other calculations that he has done, that is the arrival of Mashiach. Now, what he's not defining is that the time of the announcement of Mashiach? Is it the time of the birth of Mashiach? For the manifestation and the completion of the Mashiach's task. That's not really defined in this essay. The Zohar explains this connection to the Jubilee year and to 248 in the Parasha of Toldot in chapter 8, verse 68. And it refers to Vayikra, chapter 25, verse 13. In the year of this Yovel, you shall return every man to his possessions, when this Chazot shall be finished. The numerical value of Chazot is 5408. According to the Zohar, the six directions, the extremities of heaven, measure 600,000 parasangs. So the 408 could also represent a space, but that's just a thought to ponder. What we do know is that the highest word value in the Torah is the word from Devarim, chapter 7, verse 3. Shall marry. Of numerical value 1500. But when we use the five final letters, the highest word value is from Bamidbar. You shall rule, and it is 1908. And interestingly enough, 1908 minus 1500 is 408. Now, is this coincidence? Now, 1908 is not only 110, which is the numerical value of Nes, Nun and Samach, meaning a miracle. 1908 is 110 years earlier than 2018, which is in the Hebrew calendar was the date of the covenant of Abraham, and in the Western calendar is the year prophesied for the arrival of Mashiach. But 600,000 divided by 1908 is equal to 314.465408, with 314 being pi, shin, dalet, yud, shaddai, and mentet, the archangel and a central reference point of Bereshit, as per all the revelations in the Genesis prayer, which is a book that the author has written. And if we wanted to examine this deeper, we could say that 46 in 314.465408 is Meah, the measure of a cubit, a whole secret unto itself for later discussion. And that 5408 in the number pi, as expressed here, is 370 years before 5778. And we know from the Arizal how important 370 is in conjunction with the 370 lights of Arishantin. As far-fetched as this seems, the Zohar in Toldot tells us in explanation of the Bible codes that the word Chazot defines the arrival of Mashiach, and then 40 years later, the resurrection of the dead, and I'll expand on that in a separate post. And it goes on to explain that the reason for this is that with the hay of Hazot, the word value becomes 508, as in the year 5408. What they didn't say was that the small gematria of Hazot is 5,718. And is it? If we add the cholam for forgiveness to the aleph, we get 5778, the prophesied date for Mashiach and the redemption. Meanwhile, 600,000 divided by 1,500 is equal to 400, signifying an end by the value of the letter Tav. And according to the sages, in the end of days, there will be a period of 8 years in which Mashiach will have to pass through in order to achieve the Brit, the covenant, in 5778. Obviously, this is the same process as the Brit Milah for the newborns. The value 408 is also the value of the word Zot. Meaning that in the feminine. According to the Zohar, Zot is a code word for the Mashiach. It also signifies Malchut, our world of receiving. Which is why when we lift the Torah, we recite the Zot HaTorah. Because the 408, the Malchut, is not part of the Torah and must be added to it to complete it. Also, by coupling it with the Vav representing the six Sefirot of Zeranpin, it's yet another indication that 6 times 408 is 2448, as explained above. Moreover, the numerical value of Zot plus HaTorah is 408 plus 616 is equal to 1024, which is 32 squared, or the 32 paths of wisdom, known as the Tree of Life, squared. As we know from Rabbi Chaim Vital of blessed memory, that all Torah light is spread by squaring. The value 1024 is also the total number of different word values in the Torah, of which 1500 was the highest. It is also 2 raised to the power of 10. But since we know from the revelations about the verses of Vayera, Bereshit 218 and 21, chapter 21, verse 1, made in previous posts, and from the revelation in the book, nothing is random in the universe, that there is a split in the time frame from before 2018 to after 2019. Is it really a surprise to find out that the square root of 408 is 20.19? Please hold on a second. How perfect is it that when we take the complete value of each of the 27 letters, the standard plus the ordinal, and the complete value of the 50 composite letters that make up those 27 letters, we get a total valuation for the Aleph Bet of 10,386. Which works out to the number of net actual rows in the Torah. There are 248 columns in the Torah connecting to Abraham. And there are 42 rows in each column. And he's saying less the blank lines. And for the 600,000, minus 408 composite letters in the Torah, that this gives an average of 57.73 letters per line. 600,000 divided by 10,386 would have given us an even closer date, 57.77. So maybe that 408 represents a space that we have to fill to overcome the gap between ourselves and Mashiach consciousness. It is a fear, as the word chet tav, of numerical value 408 would indicate. Perhaps we know that we must all look inside. The Torah and the letters provide us with the clues and the technology, but we must do the work. That is why we were born in this generation. It is a great merit to be in this generation. Let's take advantage of it. And speaking of Mashiach, if we take those 10,386 full complete values individually, and multiply them by the occurrences of their corresponding 27 letters in the Torah, and then take their square roots, since Rabbi Chaim Vital of blessed memory has revealed to us that all Torah light is spread through squaring. The 27 times 50 letters square root sums to 35797.9359, which is only a tiny, less than a half of 1%, or a little over a half of 1%, off an exact 35,800, or 358 times 100. With 358 being the value of Mashiach and 100 being a completed structure, what do we have to fear? And regarding the 600,000 Jewish souls at Sinai in 2448, We know from the Arizal that it was no accident that the Jewish soul route can be traced from the 600,000 to the 70 members of Jacob's family who entered Egypt, to his 12 sons, to the three patriarchs, and back to Adam. And one soul divided by 600,000 divided by 12 divided by 70 divided by 3 is equal to 0.0042, or simply 42, as in the Shem Membet, as in the at the very root of our soul. And as preposterous as this may seem, one divided by 600,000 times divided by 12 divided by 70 divided by 3 is equal to 238.095, which is the exact atomic weight of uranium-238. And one divided by 238.095 is 0.0042, or simply 42, as in the Anabakoach, which is the Shem Membet, the name of 42. And that is the end of this essay. But as I indicated, and I will explain briefly next week, his approach to the letters may be incorrect. I'm not saying it is incorrect. I haven't ever actually done it. But we have to look at what letters are actually individual letter components. We'll have to go through that next week. Does anybody have any questions? And I know I went through these numbers very quickly. And a lot of this person's writings are very much numerically oriented because that's his background. And like most other people, he comes to his writing with an agenda. His agenda is to be right. So did he force the numbers into these patterns, or were the patterns already there and they're actually real? And that's a question you'll need to ask for yourself. Are there any questions?
Hanok, I have a question. When he said that we have to do the work, I realized he was explaining everything mathematically, so you could see the system and how it comes out in his explanation. So what is the work that we're supposed to do? Is it the tikkun work? Is it the character work? What is it that each individual has to do? Is it meditation? Is it prayer? So what is it? I mean, there's so many things that we have to be on top of and be aware, you know, in our yearnings and connection with our Creator in this process of seeking our final redemption. So can you... You probably can't explain it fully tonight, but just, you know, what is the work? There's no clarity there. There has to be, it sounds like it's a behavioral situation of thought and choice. Anyway, I just put it out there.
The question, what is the work, is a valid question. And to answer that question, I need to point out to you one thing that most people do not consider. There were 600,000, actually in the census, there were three censuses taken in the Bible at different times in the 40 years. One was at the beginning. One was for another purpose, and one was at the end. Those three censuses had roughly 600,000, but they're not It's not exactly 600,000. And that's one of the things his numbers are not taking into account. But we have a tradition that says there were 600,000 men, implying that there were 600,000 women, because right. each man needed to have a soulmate, and that they had a number of children. Typically, we use the modern average of approximately 2.5, but we also have to remember that there was significantly greater birth rates during the years in Egypt.
Right.
So the typical answer is there are somewhere between 2.5 and 3 million Jewish souls who left Egypt. Now that's all very well and good. But we have to understand that a man and a woman is one soul. So there's really approximately 1 million Jewish souls in the desert. Now today, according to the latest census that I saw, 43% of the Jewish souls are in the land of Israel. And that is 8.8 million Jewish souls.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I didn't look at those numbers to say, well, do I divide by two to get to the same equivalency? 1 million is now somewhere around 12 million. We could do the calculation. But the point that I'm trying to make important for our thinking to answer your question is what is the work, is how many individual Jewish people today represent the one Jewish soul in the desert? According to the Zohar and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who said at the time of the destruction, approximately the time of the destruction of the Second Temple, he had been through the heavens, and approximately 300,000 of the 600,000 had achieved their tikkun. So we really have to ask, how many Jewish souls today form one Jewish soul in the desert? What is the purpose of this discussion? It's to say all of the things that you mentioned in your talking. Is it the tikkun? Is it prayer? Is it meditation? Is it doing good deeds? Is it doing this mitzvah or that mitzvah or another mitzvah? All of those are the work. But what does one person's work? We have to know what component of a Jewish soul in the desert is represented by that Jewish person in our world today. And I'm going to leave you here to think about it and contemplate it. Because what it really says is together all of the Jewish souls have the job, the work, and they divide it up. How it gets divided is unknown. So for one Jewish soul today, it may be that it's prayer. And they need to pray three times a day. For another, it may be that it's doing good deeds. For another, it's collecting charity. For another, it's smiling at another human being. For another, it's working on all of the character traits. For another, it's working on one character trait. Suffice it to say, the work is everything you've mentioned.
Yeah.
But what is an individual's work? That is what each individual must find for themselves. And all that a student of Kabbalah, all that a Kabbalist can do is assist the person in finding that out through various techniques that are taught in the Kabbalah, including and specifically what is taught in the meditative approaches in the Sefer Yetzirah. And I know I didn't give you the answer perhaps that you wanted to hear.
No, you did. It clarified a lot.
Are there any other questions? As I said earlier today, but I'll repeat, tonight at 7 West Coast time, we will count the Omer. Tomorrow at 4:30, we will have our deeper Zohar class on the Parsha of Noah. At 7 p.m. tomorrow, we will have a session of the Sharei HaKadosha, Kiddushim, the Gates of Holiness by the Rabbi Chaim Vital. We're continuing that study. And remind you that Wednesday night at 8:15 is Lag BaOmer, and we will have a long-time study of the Bidra Rabba, the large assembly, which is the group of 10 who studied with Rabbi Shimon in the cave in Meron. After he came out, he attracted these 10 men that are mentioned in the Zohar. Eight of them, he and his son Elazar, are 2 of the 10. And so he taught those 10 the rules and the laws of that are explained in the Zohar. And that is called the Large Assembly, the Idra Rabba. And it appears, I believe, in the Parsha of Naso, in the regular Zohar. So we will start to read it. I have not done any advanced preparations for that section. So we'll just have to see what we find out, what the elevation of the energy that takes place on Lag BaOmer will assist us with. So I wish you all a good week. Shavua Tov, Shalom Gadol, a large amount of peace and serenity in your lives. Shalom to all.
Tuna, thank you.